How many of y'all went back over what Minister Avery put in the chat today, walking by faith? Just show your hand. Did y'all go back over it? Because that was, I mean, there was so much to unpack in that yesterday. I went through it twice, listened to it twice. Like sometimes you can hear things and you miss a lot of things that come to you. But that walking by faith, man, is the truth. So I'm just gonna build upon what we learned yesterday. So tonight's lesson, it will be the audacity of faith. Because I was going over another lesson that Pastor Wilson taught a long time ago, and it's called bulldog faith, and how you latch on to something like a bulldog. When a bulldog latch on to something, and it don't let go. And so that's why this one is called the audacity of faith. I'm using audacity in this definition. To have the audacity means to be bold, daring, and sometimes even reckless, often with a disregard for conventional norm or potential consequences. To be bold, to have audacity of faith, is to go in. You can't be weak. There's no timidity, right? This is when you stand firm. It said faith is often viewed as trust in the unseen, but throughout scripture, we see examples of audacious faith, how they stepped out boldly and defied circumstances. I'm going to talk about three characters tonight, and four scriptures and three characters. The first scripture would be Hebrews 11 and 1. And then I'm going to talk about three characters. I'm going to talk about Joshua. I'm going to talk about Peter. And I'm going to talk about the unknown lady. He said the lady with the issue of blood. Scripture didn't give her name. Just called her the lady with the issue of blood. So if I can't see everybody's hand, just open up your mic and then just speak. I'm gonna start off with this question. What does audacity mean in the context of your faith? What does audacity mean in the context of your faith? I gave a brief definition earlier. So anyone? I'll go ahead and start first, then somebody else can follow later.
And if you can come up with your, did say your definition of it one more time, please.
All right. The definition is to have the audacity. It means to be bold, daring, and sometimes we can even say reckless, with a disregard for conventional norms or potential consequences. So that's what audacity means. Bold, daring, sometimes even reckless. Because I said reckless because sometimes it's not going with the conventional norm. It's like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but I'm gonna stand bold in my faith. I'm gonna stand on this. And people might say, because you have the audacity to stick to certain principles, you're being reckless. Yeah. All right, brother. Deacon Sanders, go ahead.
I'll say for me, it depends on what it is. I remember my wife, when we was in Virginia, once I got these orders to deploy, I was like, I already got in my mind it's settled. I'm about to be a commander. I'm gonna deploy a company. And then Ryan was like, well, no, we need to pray against this. And I said, I don't got enough faith. Well, I've never seen a whole unit just say, especially once the orders have already been cut, hey, you're not deploying. And I'm like, I was trying to get in my mind, no, you're a commander. You're not going to be the commander that that goes out there. I mean, that doesn't deploy with his soldiers. You're in the rear and all this stuff. And she was like, no, you don't have enough faith. You don't have enough faith. And you just need to be praying on it. And it was kind of, it was contradicted for me. For me, I'm like, no, I need to get my mind to prepare for this. But in the same token, I know I wanted to be with my family. So I didn't have a, so I guess it would depend on what it was. I didn't have enough faith to believe God for giving me time with the family once I got back from Virginia and still be able to handle my business as a commander, because everything was set in concrete. And the conventional wisdom that I had is what I went off of. A, prepare your mind to go, start training, start putting things in order to prepare your family, get the will, start doing power of attorney, start doing all this stuff now. So when you get over there, your family is straight. And then doing all that. My wife was like, no, that's a lack of faith for doing that. So I guess it depends on what it is with the experiences that I have. When it comes to like the money and getting things done, like healing and and doing things just everyday, daily things, I have enough faith for that. For my marriage goals, I have enough faith for that. But when it comes particularly with the military, it seems like once stuff is set, my mind is like, there it is. Like Apostle Clemens once told me, hey, you're going to be the first one to go from lieutenant to major in a year. And in my mind, I said, I'm not even going to process that and accept that because I know that's not a real thing. So I'm not even going to accept that. I know that I'm going to have to be a captain first and all that. And then, so when it comes to like the stuff like that that I know is conventional, I don't have that audacity in that definition worth of faith. So I'm like, that's not how stuff work in the job that I'm in. But when it comes to like the daily stuff I do, or day-to-day operations I do. So I'm still working on my faith.
Amen. It, go ahead, Minister Avery.
Yeah, that's great. I was thinking of from the aspect of risk taking. And I was thinking, man, when like God, he don't give us the full picture. Maybe he do for some folks, but for me, and I even see that in the Bible, right? He don't really give the full picture, but you have to go with you have to go on what he gave you in that moment. And the risk is going and not knowing, right? And I see that as the audacity and being bold enough to step out on faith, taking that risk, knowing that he'll give me the rest of it, but I just need to keep moving. If I don't move, then I miss what I'm supposed to be doing at that appointed time.
Amen. Do you have your Bible in front of you, Minister Avery?
You want me to pull one up?
Yeah, pull up Romans 12 and 3. Yeah, it talks about the measure of faith. I just want you to read it for me. But it tells us not to think too highly of ourselves, but to
Right.
once you pull it up, just read it word for word.
I'm reading from the NIV. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you.
Amen. You see the faith that God has distributed to each of you don't have to go bigger than you need to. If you start acting out of character, some things might not be for you. But kind of like the lesson that we said that we learned yesterday from service, right? Like it needs to be big enough if you need God to exist in it. If you need God to come in agreement with you, then it must be big enough. If it's small enough where he has given you the measure of faith for you to accomplish it by yourself, there's certain things that you have to do. Faith is proactive. It's not static. You don't just sit and wait. Say if you're talking, if you're praying without faith, then all you're doing is just mumbling, just jumbling. You're just talking to yourself because it takes faith. It takes When you think about faith, belief must precede faith. And we'll go over certain characters in the Bible that talks about it. But I want to read 2 Peter verse 1, 5 through 8. 2 Peter verse 1, 5 through 8. And I see you, brother Chris. I'll come to you in just a sec. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. It said, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, our brotherly love, and to mutual affection love." So when you read that, you see that this passage suggests that faith is not simply believing in something, but it is a way of life through how we cultivate a development. Faith needs to be built on. I'll go over those in a minute. But faith is not something that you just sit there and you said, "Well, I have faith in this," but you're not doing anything. You're not building to your faith. You see that faith has to be built on. The more you build on it, the more confidence you have, the more like you read the word, Romans 10, 17, you read the word, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more you get into the word, the more competent you are in the word, the more confidence you will have. All right, Brother Chris, go ahead.
I just had a question about what you mentioned a few seconds ago. When you were saying if the situation or the scenario that you're dealing with, if it's big enough to where you need God in it, I forget the exact wording that you used, but then you m mentioned another scenario where you believe that God has given you all that you need so where you can do it on your own. I was just wondering what type of scenarios would those would fall in that category to where it's like, okay, this should be something I can handle on my own and I shouldn't have to, I guess you could say, believe for it, or am I misunderstanding?
No. Here's the thing. Belief must precede faith. But Ephesians 3:20 talks about no one to him who is able to do abundantly above all that we may ask or think. When you think about abundantly above all that you may ask or think, right? That means God can do things that's above your capacity. Some things you think you ready for, and you're acting in faith, and God saying, "Well, I know what you're asking for, but in order for you to get to that level, I need to see some type of faith exercise." So you're equipped with the Holy Spirit within you that allow you to do some things, the necessary things that you need to do to get to the next level. For example, I'll put it in this context, and I like to think of it this way. Like when you think of two kingdoms, the kingdom of God, and then you think the kingdom of Satan, you can have two people operating on principles. The one with from that gain his abundance through principles from the kingdom of God, and then you have one from the kingdom of Satan. Luke 16, verse 8 and 9 talks about it, the children of light and the children of darkness. And it talks about the shrewd manager and so forth. It was talking about them, how the children of darkness are wiser when it comes to money. And so if you learn their knowledge of how to operate in this world, but there are principles where the kingdom of God, if you look at the kingdom of God and you said, "I am an ambassador and I'm operating as a child of God," then you are operating from abundance. And the children of this world, they operate from lack. When they operate from lack, they're saying the mentality is, "I just got to work hard, I got to hustle. And if I work hard and hustle, then I'll get these things." Well, the kingdom of God, it operates differently. All you got to do is to be positionally in place. If you're positionally in place, things will begin to happen for you, right? The other kingdom is saying, go and hustle hard and do this. And the other one is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. Matthew 6:33 is an act of faith. God knows what you want, but it's got to take some part for you to step out. You don't know what's at the end of the road till you take the first step. And so the little things that I'm not saying for you not to inculcate God in everything you do. In everything you do, you must seek guidance from God. But it doesn't take God for you to make that first step. That's up to you. You have to participate in your own deliverance. Minister Avery.
Yeah, as you were saying, I was thinking I didn't get right. I wasn't really qualified for the job that I got, but I could write my resume. Had I not put the resume in, I wouldn't have got it. I wouldn't even got considered, but I still put the resume in. That's something that I could control. But as far as the rest, it was up to God to release that job offer to me, because looking at my resume, there's no way that I should have got it, but that's the type of God I serve. My faith allowed me to put the resume in anyway. My prayers allowed him to release that job to me.
Amen. And that's the thing. Remember what Pastor was saying yesterday from walking by faith. He said, go ahead and go walk in that house because you're thinking, oh, my credit score is too low and I can't do it. I'm not ready yet. And so you're waiting and you're waiting to get everything in order before you do it. And then you're wasting opportunity cost because you're losing time value. So your doubt of getting that house, you're operating now by what you see. What you see is affecting your walk. So you said you look at your credit score and you perceive your credit score to be less than perfect. So you're like, nobody's gonna give me a house. So you don't go walk in the house. But what Pastor was saying yesterday is about a habit forming behavior. All you had to do was just go walk in the house that you think you want and talk to that realtor. Then the realtor will look at your credit and tell you exactly what you need to do. And then God will begin to move in your circumstances. And then next thing you know, within a year or whatever, you got that house. But if you step back and you wait till your credit score to get perfect, you're sitting down 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 years gone, and you're seeking a house and you never get the house because you don't know what to do or you haven't activated the faith to move to let God intervene. There's one thing that God uses, and that grace. You know, God shows favor through grace. He helps men through men, but you never know until you actually make that step of faith. You have to actually initiate it. Like you can say you have faith, but if you don't initiate it, nothing happened. Remember that in Luke chapter 10, when he sent out the 72, he tell them you are empowered. And they said, okay, we have it. And then they go out. Remember how astonished that they did? They came back and they said, Lord, even the demons were subject to us. They were so excited, right? Until they bring the person to them that they couldn't heal. And they asked Jesus, why couldn't we heal this one? And he said, because you do not have faith. Oh, ye of little faith. But I'm a come to another lesson in a minute. Does anybody have anything else to add before I move? Okay, Pastor.
There you go.
Let me try to bring it up. Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
Y'all
sir.
may be muffled. I got you. Let me just add a little bounce to it. So, like Chris, I think sometimes we confuse acknowledging God with faith, right? So we acknowledge Him in all of and then He does what? He'll direct your path. He'll tell you go left, go right, whatever the case may be. Okay, I don't know if that's. I'm sure there's a level of faith involved, but the real act is obedience, just obeying Him. Right? So then there's times where does faith begin? Faith begins where the will of God is. So when you say, you could be, say, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing a word from God. When you hear a word of God, that's the will of God. Faith, your faith begins where His will begins, right? So once you know His will, you can apply faith in that scenario. But then, like, you think about getting in your car. You already know the direction that you're traveling. Do you need to be in faith to know I need to go from my house to Fort Carson? I may acknowledge Him in prayer for covering, but once I start the car and start driving, I've driven it 1,000 times. I'm not even thinking about it anymore, right? So think about it like this. In Matthew 4, 35, when Jesus told them to go to the other side, let us go to the other side. They don't need to apply no faith right there. He already gave them a distance and a direction. All the boat don't need no patching. They just need to get in the boat and start in that direction. And then when you start reading in that passage, it's still talking about, and then a great windstorm arose, and the waves splashed on the boat, and now the boat is filling with water. And in the stern, Jesus is asleep on the pillow. And they woke him up, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the sea. "Peace be still." The wind ceased. And then he says, "Why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Right? Now, where were they applying the faith at? They needed to apply the faith to overcome the storm. They didn't need to apply no faith because he already told them where they was going, right? Get on the boat, we're going to the other side. They own the boat. Right? And that's why he is already he's asleep even when the storm going on, because he already knew that was the direction or the course or the will of God for his life. Right? Now the storm comes to interrupt the will. Now this is me in fellowship, but you'll think this is just like some faith, but you can apply this to every area of your life. When you know you're in the will of God, like Deacon Sanders was talking about, that wasn't really a lack of faith. Sometimes you already know what the will is. So I don't apply faith to overcome the will of God. People can say what they want to say, but in your heart, you were in peace with it because you already knew the will of God. So it was nothing for you to try to conjure up because you're saying that don't make you be in disbelief, because you weren't really looking for no miracle. And you truthfully, based off what you were saying, it ain't like you don't want to leave your family, but you really wasn't looking for no out. You understand? You weren't trying to get out of it. You weren't trying to overpower that. You already knew, I got to do this, right? Your heart was already fixed to know that you had to do that. You can't use faith to overcome the will of God when you already know you're in the will of God. What you use it for is to overcome anything that caused it to disrupt it. So a person may say, God want me to do this. It's going to take me 10 years to do it. The doctor come back and say, you got 6 months to live. I'm going to apply faith on whatever that is because the will of God told me this is going to come to pass in 10 years. So I got to use, just like they overcame that storm, I got to use my faith on that situation to ensure that my divine destiny course don't get interrupted by some sickness. You see, you can apply it to anything. You can apply it to a house. You can, when I say a house, I mean you got the house. You know you approved for the house, and then something pop up from the 12 years ago. It should have already been off, right? Now I'm gonna release faith over that situation because I know this is coming to disrupt my family or my livelihood. Does this make any sense to you? But it ain't like you trying to just, it ain't like some genie in a bottle. The beginning of all of this starts. I don't care if it's a business. I don't care if it's a promotion. I don't care if it's a sickness. I don't care if it's a mental relapse, right? I don't care what it is. If it comes to disrupt a distance in a direction or the will of God for your life, now you can use that. So, okay, so let's just use what I said yesterday. What I said was sometimes he'll put us in situations that's beyond our capabilities. So Minister Avery testified about that. You know, he's learned that job to the point to where he basically been set up to run the whole situation now, but he didn't show up like that. So I'm sure every day as he's learning, he's applying faith to ensure that get out of here. He's applying faith to these situations to ensure that he understands the task. He can understand the lingo. He can understand this, whatever case may be. But a lot of times we acknowledge God. God, I need your help. Okay, but now it moves to a point to where we got to apply some faith in that situation. I got to pick up the book on my own sometime and start studying it. I got to understand the charting. I got to understand, you know, I got to put myself in a situation to win that may be beyond, you know, my natural reasoning. Is this making any sense to you? It can apply to a marriage. How does it apply to a marriage? Because we don't all come up in the Brady Bunch household or the Huxtables. Most of us didn't grow up like that, right? So you trying to heal your relationship because it's falling apart. You trying to heal the relationship, and every time you come home, your wife starts an argument, or the devil uses her to start an argument. Okay, now you need to start walking by faith because your assignment is to stay in the pocket and to keep loving her and to believe God that this situation, that he'll touch your heart, that he'll smother this situation out. Now I'm believing God because I don't want to be disruptive. I don't want to be combative. Is this making any sense to you? If it comes down to a man can't say he's looking, you know, he's trying to better his life economically, and then he's not looking for a job. And he said, well, so, you know, I come to Brother Sims, and I say, hey, Brother Sims, you know, go check that job out. He say, what kind of job is it, Pastor? I tell him what the job is. He said, I ain't qualified for that job. I didn't ask you if you was qualified for it. I said, go check it out and apply for it, right? Because sometimes people will hire you at a lesser level. And now I'm using my faith because I want to come up to that level. I need this ability. I need God to, how does that apply to knowledge? Because if we, James talks about, if we don't know something, we can ask God and he'll give us the insight or the wisdom. He'll give it to us freely. He'll give it to us. Right? So a lot of times people won't take advancements. They won't take promotions because they ain't qualified. That's why, and this is the biggest thing in ministry. Oftentimes when people think they qualify for ministry, they're not qualified. Right? And the guy who running from it, God will hunt that guy down and put him in. Because the other guy thinks he's supposed to be in ministry because he's gifted. But he never going to apply faith. He's never going to acknowledge God. He's never going to do anything. He's going to keep working his gifts and his talents in comparison to the guy who say, I stutter. God say, yeah, I want that guy right there. That guy who ain't got no hoop, I want that guy right there. You understand? Because this guy is going to consistently be seeking God and applying faith in everything he does. The more gifted you are, this is the truth, brothers, the less you're going to seek God and the less you're going to believe God for anything. The more, like economically, the more financially savvy a person is, they're going to make all kind of horrible trades because they don't get up in the morning and acknowledge him and then apply faith if it start going down and start talking to him and start calling it back up. I just did it today. You better get your tail on back up there. You better get up. You better get on back up there. You understand? I got stuff on the line, right? That's how you apply it. And walking by faith begins with acknowledging God. But after you acknowledge him, there's still things that you must do. I said way too much, but I just wanted to bring clarity to what Chris said, because acknowledging him
is the beginning of walking by faith. They're not the same. They're not synonymous.
Thank you, Pastor. That which I've read in 2 Peter 1:5-8, it talks about that. What Pastor just said, a mouthful. But one important part about it is like learning the language. So the lingo, if you want to build on something, you got to learn the language of it, or things will fly over your head. You'll miss the opportunity. You'll miss when somebody just speaks something to you and said, "Hey, go buy the Meta June 2026 call at the strike price of 560." And you're like, "What? What are you talking about?" Maybe that knowledge was good. It was solid advice, but it went over your head because you're not there yet. You don't know the lingo, so to you, it's like speaking gibberish. So that's how a faith operates. You move, and then God move. God has already said, "My kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." And so you move, and God move. Are you about to say something, Pastor? Or no?
I was going to say that's a perfect scenario, right? Let's just use options because these are things that me and be interested in. And I was trying to share that with a person, right? And the whole reason why they would not step into it is because they feared losing everything. They wouldn't, and they didn't know it, right? But I didn't sense you enough to where you start where you at. And you just build upon that. Nobody asking you to be Deacon Henry. We're asking you to spend $20 to get some material that you can read and learn. Right? I've had people, I tried to get them to come in the military. They wouldn't believe God that they could actually do it, or the thing that the task that I was telling them, hey, this is what God wants you to do. They couldn't see it. Right. And I actually that something happened about four times. And what God was trying to get me to get them to do, Brother Vinny, was to get in his will. When they rejected the will because it was going to require them to walk by faith just to get in the military and just do what he was telling them to do, when they rejected the will, it automatically adjusted their course to where the devil can pull them someplace else. Watch this. And every one of them wind up going to jail. No, they didn't have no records. They never been in jail a day in their life. Right? The will was one of them still in there. Right? I think he got about 15 more years to go from selling stuff to a DEA, a federal agent. You understand? But and it would have been perfect in the military, but would not use faith to overcome the fact that these people couldn't fear him. The people gonna get you over there and somebody wouldn't kill you. Bubba will kill you in that jail cell. You got a better chance of surviving on the battlefield than in the cell with Chocolate Thunder and his 6'9", 350-pound tail. You got a better chance of surviving the battlefield than not to mess with these people, right? But it requires faith to do it. It requires it's taking a word that somebody give you, a simple word. I remember telling somebody, "Hey, God want to make." First of all, let me tell you how I know they didn't believe it. That God was going to make them a sergeant major. And they was an E7 at the time. And then, based off what they'd done in the military, they never should have made E8. Because they really, from a natural standpoint, they wouldn't even deserve it. They hadn't done nothing. Right? But God gave them that much. And I remember telling them, but the E9, he says it's going to be up to you. I specifically remember telling them that. And this is what the response was, Benny. Wow. Wow. Disrespect. Because they didn't believe it. And then they got to E8, even though they didn't deserve it. God willing gave them that to kind of try to let them know that all they had to do was apply faith to the next one and they could have got it. Wow. They wind up getting shuffled right on out the military after that strike. But could have went as far as they wanted to go because God was basically telling me to tell them. The point of it is this. When the right person give you a word that they don't have no They don't benefit nothing by telling you. That's a key right there. When they don't benefit nothing from you doing it, and they don't lose nothing if you don't do it, you should probably listen, even if it challenges you to believe that. Right? Challenge them to believe it. A lot of people exiting marriages way too soon because they don't believe that God can change the person. Right? And what was the word that came from across our pulpit? And if you give them up, you are not getting another one. You're not getting another one. You may be in some old relationships. You may have sex with people. That ain't the same thing as having no wife.
Right.
It's the same thing as being in a covenant relationship, and it changes your destiny and direction when you ain't got the right person.
Right.
See? Now, what do I mean by they ain't getting another one? They could theoretically get married again. But according to the Bible, that still ain't their wife. I ain't gonna mess with that because I don't know what people that went through in your life, but I can go around the country and I can tell people in many cases they got divorced for no reason, and they by the world standard, the world let them remarry, but God said that was your wife over there, but they didn't want to apply no faith to heal the relationship. I'm done the rest of the night. I hope that helped you.
Amen. Like Pastor saying, it's something you have to build on. And that's what I mentioned about 2 Peter 1:5-8. You got to build on it, right? It first said to make every effort to add to your faith. You add goodness to your faith. We all hear the saying, God is good. And then we reply all the time, God is good. If he's a good God, then you should want to know about this good God, right? In Hebrews 11:6, it said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you read that, you don't just read it, regurgitate what the word said. You got to examine it and figure out how can I apply this, right? So he said, without faith, is it impossible to please him? Luke 1:37, it says, with God, all things are possible. So if you want the possible, then now you have to come into agreement with God's word. And if it says without faith, it's impossible to please him, then that means faith is a must. If you want to please God, faith is a must. And then if you want to apply faith, then you got to know what it means. Hebrew 11:1. It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen. Now faith means in the present moment, not talking about the past, not talking about the future. It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you look at that definition and it tells you that now faith, the thing that you're having faith for right now, is the substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen, then you know that faith ends in the hope. But in order for you to have faith, it must be preceded by belief. You can't come to the rewarder to diligently seek him if you don't believe in him. So believing gives you access, but faith is what actually open up the doors. And then once you apply it, then you get the full manifestation. Belief ends in faith and faith ends in hope. Our faith ends in manifestation. So you first believe it, then you have faith that it will come, and then you apply that faith and the manifestation of it comes. So if you said, you know what, I'm believing God for a house. Okay, you believe God for a house. Now you have faith because he promises, because you quote the scripture. I'm the head and not the tail, you know, and you're just going over these scripture. But until you take the necessary step, like going out and looking at it, then now you're building on it. It says in 1 Peter 1:5-8, it says, I'll go through these things real quick. It said goodness. add to your fate goodness. So fate is not static. It's something you have to build on. You got to add goodness on it. If it doesn't have God in it, then it's not fate. You're basing everything on the laws of physics, or the laws of logic are based on your gift, on what you know. So it must include goodness. So God is good, and you build on that. But then from that goodness, you gotta add knowledge to it, right? Isaiah said, "My people die for the lack of knowledge." So once you get the knowledge, you gotta figure out, now I got the knowledge, I need to know what to do with this. He said, wisdom is the principal thing, but with all that getting, get an understanding. If you don't have knowledge of something, whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that you perceive in your mind that you want from God, now you need to get the knowledge of God of how to get it. Let me see what the scripture says. I have a broken marriage. Okay. Is the broken marriage the problem? No, the marriage is broken because something else is the problem. So what is the problem? Okay, maybe I get angry too much. I smash at things. I react to things. I'm belligerent. I react rather than responding. And so you're like, well, my marriage is broken because all these other symptoms are showing up. So let me see how I can fix these symptoms. Now you're applying faith. You're applying the goodness. You're going through the scripture and you're seeing what I'm dealing with today. Let me find it in the scripture and figure out what the Bible says about it. Now it said to knowledge add self-control, because you can have a gift as you gain knowledge, and then you just put God in the back burner, like you don't need God no more. So you just going with no self-control in nothing. You just out there doing it based off your will and not God's will. So he said, you got to have a level of self-control, some type of temperance when you do it. You always got to put humility first, seeking God first, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Once you're humble, then God will begin to work through you. So now you got the knowledge, you got the goodness, you got the knowledge, you got the self-control. He said through the self-control, you had perseverance. Because, you know, like I'm doing everything and applying all the principle, but I'm not seeing nothing. And so you want to give up. And he said, no, you got to persevere. You know, Peter at one time is saying, Jesus, I want to go wherever you go. And Jesus told him, said, you can't go where I go. He said, you know, this night, Peter, this night, Satan is trying to sift you out like wheat. But I pray that when it happened, that your faith doesn't fail you. And then you come back and strengthen your brother. They're letting you know, like, Satan is trying to sift you like wheat, and he's going to come. But I'm telling you, you got to persevere, because through your persevere, you're going to come back, and then you're going to strengthen your brother through your testimony. You're going to tell them, right? And so I see you, Minister Avery. Let me just finish this one point. And so now you did the goodness, the knowledge, the self-control, you're persevering. And it said through the persevering, you got to have godliness. You're persevering. So now it's like, okay, I got to put the God part of it. So I did everything that I need to do. I'm fasting. I'm praying. I don't see nothing. The godliness portion of it. Okay, let me praise God for it, even though I don't see it yet. Let me start praising God. And so you just start seeing the godliness of it. 1 Corinthians 5:21 said, I am the righteousness of Christ. He led him who knew no sin to become the righteousness for me. So now you add from that godliness, brotherly love or mutual affection. It means that brotherly love or mutual affection, like you are not going through this alone. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation overtaking you that is not common to man. Like God is letting you know you ain't the only one going through this. But when we become a unity as brotherhood, it gets strengthened, and you get strengthened in the faith, and you can persevere. And then he said, through mutual affection, love. And so you built upon these things, and then the next level will bring in manifestation. Let me get Minister Avery first, and then I'll get you, Brother Manny.
Nah, yeah, that's for me, right? That perseverance part was so key because that helps me keep going. Even when things like when things add up that would make me want to stop or change course, if I let them things make me stop or change course, then I'm not in perseverance. A lot of times I can miss it only to have to go back. But had I used that perseverance, that discipline to stick through it, no matter what the naysayers or even folks that I may think on my team, no matter what they're doing, I'm supposed to still stay the course of that persevering. Whatever is getting thrown at me or coming against me, I had to remember that those things are coming against me for a reason. The enemy doesn't want me to persevere. He wants me to get off mark, go in a circle or a tailspin, and they have to come back to us. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Thank you, Brother Manny.
Man, this has been an awesome call, but definitely, I would say, with that perseverance part, I remember early in January, Pastor told me, in the middle of service, he's preaching, he's in the word, and he just points to me, he's like, your business is gonna work out. Your business is going to work out because God needs you here and he needs your wife here. And your wife doesn't know it yet, but she's going to do great things in God, when he has finished preparing her. And I have just seen, trial after trial, but also in those trials, I've seen the goodness of God. Man, I can't tell you how happy I was to see the pictures of the tea party. And then she texts me and she had a great time. She has always been, to herself, but the fact that she could fellowship, with other women, strong women of God at that, and to be able to come out of that shell and to open up. Man, I woke up this morning and I was expecting to have to spend $600 on fixing one of my cars. It turns out it had to be 1,066, and I'm sitting here like, man, I could use that extra 400 for a payment, for rent, whatever the case may be. But it's not about what I think logically and what my limitations are. And that brings me to 1 Corinthians 3:7, where it says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And when that scripture came across, it can be easily taken out of context, like, oh, so that means anything I do isn't good enough. But just like you guys were saying earlier, sometimes God does things that are way outside your limits. Sometimes, just like Pastor said yesterday, sometimes your best ain't good enough. You got to keep going, but you got to keep, in faith, moving forward and continuing to water it. Just because Pastor gave me a word earlier this year that the business is going to work out, doesn't mean that I just sit back and I let God, handle the whole load. There's stuff I gotta do. I gotta make sure the cars are upkept. I gotta make sure I'm taking new pictures, I'm advertising. I gotta make sure I'm doing my part and being a good steward of the blessing that God gave me so that God can continue to increase. Because I tell you one thing, I've been trying to expand my fleet for the better part of the year, but one thing he's taught me is that until you appreciate what you have now, you won't be able to get to that next step. And I had to learn. I had to backtrack and learn because, he gave me the blessing of knowledge, but it's how I'm using my knowledge. Am I using my knowledge to better myself, or is it am I using my knowledge for the kingdom and to better everyone around me? For me, I've always been one to share knowledge as much as I can, because regardless whether it benefits me or not, if it helps you out, I'm happy. Because that taught you something that maybe you didn't know. Maybe God told me to tell you that because it's something that you had needed help with, and I didn't even know. We were just talking simple, business exchange, business knowledge. So, this is just so, rich in knowledge and context. because you really have to learn how to discern God. A lot of times I have to ask myself when I feel myself backsliding, is when's the last time that you use your faith? When's the last time that you put yourself in a position where you had not only to acknowledge God, but trust in God? So that's
Amen.
all I have.
Amen, brother. Well said. And I'm glad to see your wife too. I saw that picture. At first, I thought it was Sister Brianna until I looked again and saw that it was your wife. So I was actually happy to see her and participating at the tea party with the ladies. Like, just hold on to that. Like, God has planned for you, God, like Pastor say. But when you try to do stuff independently on your own, it deter the purpose that God have for your life or the destiny. Because some things God don't think of independent. Either he wants you to work interdependently with him, or if you have a spouse, for him to be in the center of it so you can get there. We're going to look at our first character in Joshua chapter 10 to solidify some stuff in this faith walk. Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, and our first character, which will be Joshua, and I'll read it. Joshua 10, verses 12 through 14, and it said Joshua's bold faith when he commanded the sun to stand still. He said, "Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon.' And the sun stood still, the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day." In verse 14, "And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." Now you think about this now, like, now he's messing with the elements that God created, right? And he literally said, "Sun, stand still." This is how your verbiage need to be. The difference between a person walking in faith and a person not in faith, it all comes into their word. When you a kingdom trial and you're operating on the under the kingdom perspective that said, all I need to do is be proportionally connected to God, and then everything else will be added to me. So if I'm positionally in the position where I need to be, then things will start happening for me. You are an ambassador, right? You were bought with a price, and then God gave you something, and he left you with that comforter, and that comforter empowers you. I learned about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven on a Bible study that Pastor Woodson gave. And maybe he might go over it again sometime in the future with the new people. But I learned the difference and what it means. And Jesus came and he was preaching the kingdom of God. And I've always applied the kingdom of God in a far realm away. And then you start reading it like, okay, sometime it used interchangeably on the kingdom of heaven, but in the kingdom of God. And then I learned that the kingdom of God is the functionality of man on earth, God in you, how he empowered you for his will, for his kingdom to come on earth. And then the kingdom of heaven is the place where he go to prepare for you. So you're operating in the functionality of God, but you're operating as a kingdom child. A kingdom child don't ask question. They decree and they declare because God gave you that permission. So you speak to your problem. You don't ask permission if the problem gonna go away. You tell your problem to go away. You know, like, when's the last time you talked to your problem? A kingdom child don't sit there and get overtaken with problem. They're solution-driven people. So their prayers are filled with declarations of God and decree because they're speaking as if it is God himself that are speaking those words. And it is because you're using God's word when you pray, and your supplication are based on God's promises. So it's not like you're going outside of the Bible. So everything that you're decreeing and declaring, it's all about him. You see how Joshua spoke and what he did. It takes faith in that. He didn't sit there and ask. He just literally commanded. He said, son, stood still. He needed the day to go a little bit longer because he said, I need to finish this battle. He know the scripture said the battle is mine, not yours. And he activated his faith and he said, I need some sunlight so we can continue to fight. And he began to fight, but he declare and he decree it. And that's the way you need to move. You need to move from the perspective as a person that walks in faith, that you operate, and the words that come from your mouth are godly words. A lot of time when I pray, I don't just put in my begging portion in it. You know, I think about the Lord's Prayer, how the model that he give us, how you use thanksgiving and your supplication. It's like there's a way you pray, but if you're not praying without faith applied to it, then what are you praying for? Faith must be applied to it. If you're asking God to move and there's no faith in it, then what are you doing? Like you said yesterday, if you're praying and it doesn't have faith to it, you're just gibbering. You're just talking. You know, you're talking at God, but you're not talking to God. You're just talking at God. And there's a difference if you ain't got no faith whatsoever in it. And so Joshua is one of the first person. He applied faith to the sun stand still. I'm going to ask you this question to solidify this. How does Joshua faith challenge us to pray bold prayers? How does Joshua's faith challenges us to pray bold prayers? Go ahead, Brother Manny.
You know, it when you talk about it, you know, it puts you in a perspective of like, did Joshua ask the sun to stay still, or did he take the authority that God gave him and told it to stand still? You know, a lot of times people get asking a question with getting a solution, you know, especially when I was, you know, I was never in the military, but I was a part of a band that ran, you know, military style. You know, we were very traditional. So I did, you know, a lot of times when I needed the band to do something, I didn't ask them nothing. I told them to do it and I expected results, you know, and a lot of times, you know, we need to not only talk to our problems that way, but to confront our problems that way. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone ask someone to stop doing something and they might have a smart remark like, well, I can, but that's not what I want to do. But when you go and you call someone out, or when you talk to them with authority, the situation, the circumstances change. Now, a lot of stuff, sometimes some people are in shock. And that's what we got to do, you know, to the enemy. That's what we got to do to our problems. Because, you know, when God gave Joshua the commandment, he didn't ask him, like, are you sure I can do that? Like, you know, you're God, I'm not. He didn't question his qualifications. He was just obedient. And that goes with what was being said on the call earlier about obedience leading into your faith. You know, you have to stand out. You have to, sometimes you got to be the one that sticks up, that sticks out like a sore thumb, or like a thick tree, and you got to stand firm in it. And, you know, God, just like Pastor Woodson said in many of his preachings, God can do anything, but he won't do anything, especially if you don't believe. You have to believe to be able to get the result that you're going for. But you have to also be open-minded that the result that you're going for isn't always what you expect. You know, just like you guys were giving examples with, you know, credit score. You know, that's something I ran into because I'm like, okay, you know, my credit score ain't perfect, so I don't know if I'm gonna go test drive this car or I'm gonna go look at this house. But I still do it. Yeah, I still do it because, you know, maybe I might not get it right now, but I'm gonna have it one day. You know, the vision that God gave me for my business stretches far upon just luxury vehicles. You know, he gave me a vision of having multiple businesses, not just one. But I have to act in authority, and I have to act in confidence, and I have to pray in confidence. I can't just be praying and then, you know, if God wants to let it happen, you know, it's gonna happen. Like, I have to actually put forth that effort to believe. So when that what that does, you know, especially in Matthew, when he sent the 72 out there to, you know, preach and to cast out demons, and they came back and they were rejoicing with God, and they were telling them, like, even the demons listen to us. And what stuck out to me the most about that passage was the fact that Jesus told them, don't rejoice because the demons listen to you. Rejoice because your name is written in the book of life. You know, and that, you know, that puts you in a whole different mindset, because I ain't gonna lie to you, if I'm performing miracles, there's no glory to me. It's awesome that God uses me as the vessel, but the glory and the honor belongs to God, because without God, I wouldn't be able to do it. So in the same way that I believe that God can do things for me, I have to be able to speak in confidence, and I have to be able to be bold, to be, you know, to have the audacity to speak it. You know, I've gotten spiritual attacks at night where, like, I'm in the middle of the dream, it feels weird, and it's like this dark entity, like, right in front of me. And a lot of times what happens to me is that when I notice it, I can't speak. But the first thing, it's almost like muscle memory now, the first thing I can say is, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And I have to fight to say it over and over and over and over again until I get it out. And then when I wake up, I'm just like, you know what? The wind is unsettling right now. Let me get in a moment with God. Let me pray with God. Let me take that power and authority that He has empowered us with and use it.
Amen. Remember, I see you, Brother Chris. Remember that God kingdom operate in position. You're positionally placed, and when you're positionally placed, He move. Let's not forget that Joshua, he actually spoke to God first about this battle with the Amorites, and then he believed that God went before him. Joshua was positionally placed. Because remember, he was under the tutelage with Moses. He was one of them with Caleb when they went out with the spies. So he's been learning this whole thing. He's been positionally placed. So I'm gonna go Pastor Woodson, Minister Avery, and then Brother Chris. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, real quick, I want to just put this in your hearing. Let me show you how, because a lot of times we don't see how faith works in our life, and we get shortchanged so bad as men. We get shortchanged in life so bad. I'm gonna read this, so give me about 5 minutes to hear it.
Yes, sir.
This is the only way I can only explain it, and you'll probably hear this in one of my messages again. Sometimes God will expose you to what you cannot have immediately, so you'll start believing. Without the exposure, let's just use the I'm just using the example of walking through the house or go driving a car that you know you ain't finna get out the parking lot that day. That wasn't for you to get the car or the house that weekend. It was to expose you and open up our ability to believe further than our present. Right? So when he puts you in that position, he's trying to stimulate something in us in the form of belief. that he can eventually turn into faith, which causes manifestation. Now faith causes a substance to be involved in you, but you don't have that substance sometimes. Sometimes it comes through hearing. Sometimes he'll put you in a situation where you're exposed to something that you didn't even know that you even needed. You didn't even know that you even wanted it. You didn't even know how it would even fit in your life until God said, "Okay, go over there, and I want you to walk through it. Go over there, because you've been looking in Hoopville. You've been looking in the hoop section of housing, right?" And then he said, "No, go walk over there. That ain't for you to buy that right there, right? It's for you to stimulate something in you that'll create substance called faith that'll eventually he can birth out of you and push out of you, right?" So let me give you an example. In 1998 or 99, 99. I went home on leave for Christmas. It was 99, and it rolled over into 2000 while I was there. So it was actually year 2000. And from leave, my unit in Germany, I was in Germany. I had only been in Germany coming up on a year, 1 year, as a matter of fact. I went to Missouri. And from Missouri, my family flew back to Germany because they sent me to a continuation school in Augusta for another 45 days. Well, while I was in Fort Gordon at this LCMS class, Marilyn Hickey was there. And Marilyn Hickey taught out of the Book of Revelations the entire week, and she didn't use not one note. Nothing. Just opened up the Bible, and everything just total recall in her brain and in her spirit. Just taught 7 days straight. Well, my boss was there. He had just gotten, I don't know if he had, he had just gotten saved. And so he's an E8, I'm an E6. And we were going to these things every night. And so on the last night that she was there, she was preaching. She finished, and she was doing an altar call, and she stopped. And she said this. She said, "There's somebody here that God wants you here, and he wants you to join this church right now." I know she's talking to me. I know she's talking to me, but my boss is sitting there, and we went to Germany together. We didn't go together, but we showed up at the exact same time. So in my mind, and she said it a couple of times, in my mind, I'm thinking, this guy is literally going to think I'm crazy if I get up and walk up here and join this church, and he know that I know I got 2 years left in Germany. Needless to say, that night I did not join that church. Fast forward about 3 weeks later, I got off of staff duty, and I was asleep, and my phone rang. And he said, "Sergeant Woodson," he said, "branch manager just called, and they need instructors at Fort Gordon. And they want to know if you want to go to Fort Gordon to be an instructor." Now, mind you, I still got 24 months left in a year, and they don't do this. And they said, "Don't worry about you just getting a year. They're willing to waive all this to send you back to Fort Gordon to be an instructor." And I got off that phone, boy. I was so happy. He said, "I'll call you back in a minute." I was so happy. I was like, "Oh man, I've been wanting to go there." And he said, "I'll call you back in a minute. Watch this, Benny." I'm in my room thanking God, and immediately it pauses. I pause. And this is what God said: "I do not reward disobedience. I told you to join that church when you was there, the act of faith. I told you to join that church while you was there, and you didn't do it. I don't reward disobedience." Immediately the phone rung back. He said, "They can't take you." See, because when God was trying to get me to apply faith in a season that I did not see or believe it could happen, that was what he was looking for that would have set me up for the qualifying to be able to transition back to Europe under the radar, not doing none of my time, pretty much, and going back. And I'm saying that a lot of time we don't work on faith, we work on everything else, because the stronger your testosterone is, the more you believe in yourself. We don't trust God. We don't see no need to believe God, because I can just do it. And I'm only saying that because I'll give you another opportunity. I'll give you another one. For 2 years when I was a staff sergeant, I never done my records for E7. I didn't want to get promoted. I just go in there and sign the paperwork and leave. I wouldn't do nothing. When I got to Fort Sill, the Lord told me to go do them. When I went in there, all my records was ate up, because of course I haven't done anything for 2 years, and then I lost so much. So I had to go back home, get all my stuff, photocopy it all, bring it back in, reconstruct my whole records, and then get ready to put. He said, "Well, we'll mail them in for you." He said, "Unless you want to mail them in." He said, "Well, I'll mail them in, then you can mail them. I'll send them in through our chain." He said, "But if you want to, you can mail them in." I took my packet, and I Federal Expressed it to the president of the board. My picture, Federal Expressed it to the president of the board, and the board was getting ready to convene within a few days. So I don't even know if they're going to get it, but I took a chance to just believe that God said, "Do it this year." And I sent my records in. I came out number 7 on the list, right? After all that stuff being messed up, put it together just like God told me to, by faith, sent it in, 7 on the list. When I did for E8, same thing. When I heard the Lord say, "Hey, go do your record," most of the time I just go in and sign them. He said, "Now I want you," this is what he said, "Now I want you to do it the exact same way that they did it. You did it in Fort Sill. Photocopy everything, get it all together, get you a fresh picture, let them send it up through the chain, and I want you to send it to the president of the board." I get exactly like he told it, sent it directly to the president of the board, came out number 3 on the list. And the whole thing of it is that things that I'm trying to tell people now, these ain't things that I'm just conjuring up because it just sound like it's good for preaching. No, I'm still figuring out how to live by faith as I go. There are things that I got to build for the kingdom now. What he was teaching me was is that the same thing that you can get to work for you at a lesser level, when you have a kingdom mandate, you can take the same thing that you've done at the lesser level, apply it at the kingdom level, and then he'll do what he needs to do for the whole body. Because what he's requiring me to do, I would never be able, I won't live long enough to do all this within my own strength. It's going to take now walking and applying faith to get these done and bypass timelines. Bypass not looking at not having 500 people or 1,000 people. It's still got to get done. You understand? But it all started all these years back, and I didn't even know what I was being working up to. And that's what I'm trying to tell brothers. Don't be dismissive of being built up in faith and applying it on your natural situations, family, health, mind, marriage, money, wherever that, because you don't know who you are. Some of you don't have no idea who you are, and you don't know what you're gonna have to apply this on in your future. Right? But we're gonna make sure you developed and that you don't sell yourself short in this life, because God got a lot for a lot of y'all to do. That's gonna far surpass anything I've ever done in my life.
Amen.
I've done a lot.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. Do Men's Day, Brandon, Brother Chris.
Yeah, this was a great lesson, and thanks for that reminder, Pastor Wilson. I was thinking about what Brother Manny said, right? The faith in his dream to just call Jesus, and that spirit went off him. I would get attacked. I don't know if it's called an incubus or succubus, but one of them would try to bring the male to masturbation in sleep. And I couldn't talk, right? But I could, in my mind, I was saying, "Jesus, Jesus, help me." And as soon as I say it like it would poof, be gone. That's happened on a few occasions. So yeah, he's right. You don't have to say it out loud, but you're still saying it subconsciously. And it's that faith that, you know what, he's going to get me out of this situation. But I was thinking when you was talking about Joshua, he had a glimpse, right? Was Joshua was he was one of the 12 spies with Caleb, and he was one of the two that came back with that with the favorable report. It took 40 years, but he had a glimpse of the promised land, and he wasn't afraid of what he saw. He was only one out of two that wasn't afraid. Fast forward, now he's leading the army. Now he's calling his son to stand still. He's doing all of these things because what he was exposed to back then, and then his belief in God, and then his moving by faith, even when those around him wasn't, still staying the course. So definitely a great example and a great reminder to just my mandate is to stay in faith. No matter what the folks around me do, I have to stay the faith and know what God has called me to do in this moment.
Amen.
And
Yeah.
never talk about what you don't want to see. Hey, Deacon Henry, on the day the Lord gave over the Amorites to the children of Israel, watch this. Now you got to watch how you read this, because if you read it like you're in college, you're gonna miss it. Joshua spoke to the Lord. He spoke to the Lord and said in full view of Israel. Now, I read that, you could read that like these, he's, it's one. But I believe he spoke to the Lord, because when you read the rest, he spoke to the Son. He spoke to God, and he spoke to what he wanted to see. There's so much revelation in that. He did it in full sight of Israel. See, when God is trying to develop our faith, sometimes he'll make you speak things in public to see if you can handle the ridicule and the laughter. If the ridicule and the laughter could move you out of faith, then you was never in faith. He'll make you publicly announce it to see if the ridicule and the laughter will move you to back off of what he called you to do or told you to do, or if you'll just drop the ball totally. And it takes great faith, because what you don't want to do is ever speak the problem. You don't ever want, how you doing? I don't care if it's taught from the flow up. You don't start talking that. You don't start talking, I don't have the money. I don't, my marriage is messed up. This is going on. You don't talk the problem. I feel like a liar. If God gave you a word, that is your reality. That's not a lie. It's just not manifested, but it's not a lie. The situation that's disrupting your destiny future, that's the lie. Because you already knew what God said, something came to disrupt it. But in this dimension, we get taught that facts are final. But the fact can't be final, because God done already gave me a substance on the inside. So the fact that the world, the thing that the world calls a fact, is actually a demonic manifestation of a lie. Well, you better hear what I'm talking about. It's a demonic manifestation of a lie. Because what God said is the fact. And what I'm noticing is people are letting go of the fact because they got a substance on them. Now faith is a substance. They let go of the substance because demonic activity has manifested a lie, and now the devil is trying to get them to believe that. So they start talking that, and they don't understand how the connection between our of the spirit realm and our words, when we believe something, they don't understand how powerful it is. And this is why I think everybody, but this is why most much of the body of Christ and a lot of the black church struggles, because we think that this is like some game. even though you can explain this to people 100 times, 1,000 times, you can show it to them 1,000 times in scriptures, but they are so fixated on talking the problem or feeling like they have lied, even though the manifestation that they're seeing that's disrupting their life, that's the lie.
Yeah.
The invisible realm is more real than this realm. And the whole point of the devil manifested or trying to get his lie to manifest, how does he get it to manifest? Oftentimes, we start speaking the problem. Because he don't have no creative ability. There's nothing, nowhere in the Bible where the devil ever created anything.
Truth.
He uses humans. He used men. He used people to start talking that junk, and then it show up in their life, or it starts off with a thought. See, because problems talk. A lot of time, you can't even hard get people to understand it. A lot of their depression is linked to the fact that they keep sitting there letting the devil talk to them. And it's taking form in thoughts, right? And then they may not verbally speak it out of their mouth, but they talking it and rehearsing it to themselves. They're talking to themselves, and then it show up. Right? And we are lagging as people of God, as men of God, right? As using this for our advantage. I'm gonna stop right there because I gave way too much. I was trying to say something that for a couple of weeks down the line, but we just here. But it's just I don't understand it.
That's good, Pastor. Thank you. Brother Chris.
He had to jump off.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm gonna read the next two people. I'm gonna just read it together. The next two people was the woman with the issue of blood and Peter. We're gonna start with Matthew 14:28. This is about Peter walking on water. And I'll go ahead and read it. Matthew 14, verse 28 through 31. He said, this was when Peter walking on water, demonstrating his faith, right? He said, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee, unto the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I'm gonna come back to that in just a sec, okay? But Peter walked on water and he got to Jesus Christ. The next one is the woman with the issue of blood coming from Mark 5, verse 25 to 34. The woman with the issue of blood who risked everything to touch Jesus' garment. A lot of us know the story. Verse 25, Mark 5, 25, he said, a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 years she had it, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather it grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and but rather grow worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in and pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may just touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? In verse 32, he looked around about to see her that done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told them all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and the whole of thy plague. Now, Man, there's so much to unpack there. I'm gonna start with Peter. Like Peter, right back to the positional authority that you have, that all you have to do is be in the vicinity. He saw Jesus Christ. He said that if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. So now you have to activate his faith. He activated his faith. He began to walk. Scripture didn't say how far away Jesus was, but he had to be far enough that he couldn't even recognize that if it was Jesus or not. So he said, if it is you, right? So he activated the faith. So it's a few paces away. So he bid him to come, and then he walked on the water. He walked a few paces to get to him, got to the vicinity where he was close enough to God, and then he moved from the spiritual realm to the physical realm, saw the wind, and the wind scared him. But all this was there already, and it scared him, and he began to sink. He was close enough to Christ because Christ just reached down and pulled him up. So he was further away from the boat. He actually did something. And then Christ pulled him up. Then the scripture didn't say if they continue walking on the water and keep talking, or if they walk to the boat. But it went from natural to supernatural. Now you're standing on top of the water. You're taking something natural, and then something supernatural is happening. So this is how you know that you're moving in the realm of God. Your natural ability, the natural step that you take to participate in your own deliverance, is what's going to bring in the supernatural. That little act is what gets God to start moving. But you have to take the step, just like Peter take the steps. And it tells you that even though he took the step, right when he got close to God, he got scared. And that's what happened to us just before our breakthrough. Like, oh man, like, God, I did everything you told me. I pray, I fast, I go to church, I pay tithes, and now I don't have the money for the mortgage. And oh man, are they about to come and repossess my car? And you want to move and go back to your old self. Maybe if I could go just pull off this one job, just call my boy, like, hey, let's go do this. And logic make you want to go do that, but you got to persevere. That's what 1 Peter 1, 5, and 8 tells you, that you got to add on to these things. And it tells you that through all this adding, you got to add on perseverance. John 16, 33, it said, in this world, Jesus spoke, he said, in this world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome. You see, the wind may blow, the rain may fall, and the flood may descend, but you have to stand firm. Faith is the access that put the natural to the superficial, to the super, put the supernatural to the natural. And Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if you want to please God, all you got to do is just act. He said in Isaiah 48, verse 17, he said, I am the Lord your Redeemer that teaches you to prosper. Oh, if you would listen. So when it comes to this movement, it's like either you trust me or you don't. And if you trust me, then you got to just do what I say. I put before you life and death. You must do it. Now come with the lady with the issue of blood. It's the thought. The woman says, if I could just touch his garment. And then the disciples said, you in a multitude of people, everybody's touching you. But this touch was different because this touch was activated on faith. You think about this now. This woman's been dealing with this for 12 years. She's been seeing physician that says this in the natural, we can't do nothing about it. And each time she see a physician, it made her situation worse. Now she heard about God. So she heard about Jesus Christ coming in. So she believed. That's the first thing. Belief must precede faith. So she believed in this person coming, and she said in her mind, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. That lady was healed the moment she set her mind to said, if I could just touch, because she believed in him. So that's the first thing. She activate what Hebrews 11 and 6 says. He who comes to God must believe that he is. And for that moment, for that woman, it was the issue of blood. So you got to think about the multitude that Jesus is walking through, everybody knocking on him, touching on him. It's not the physical touch. It was a belief in faith, because he felt a pulling. He said, something went out of me. And what went out of me went into her, because nobody, she didn't need to go see another physician to say, I'm healed. She knew immediately. So when the supernatural start amalgamating with the natural, you know immediately. I'm telling you right now that I ain't got my report yet, because I don't have to go back till the 12th. But I'm going to tell you this much, that something happened to me when I came to church that day and Pastor said, take the communion and drink it. Something happened in me. I don't have the proof yet, but I know. And I'm telling you, I know, and I'm moving on knowing this, because I'm feeling different. Even my diabetic is different. I had a problem getting it down, and then all of a sudden when I check it now, I'm at 104.97, and I was up in the 400s, almost 500. But I know that day when I took that communion, it's when something happened, because I feel it and I know it. And that's why I said, when Pastor just mentioned it, how the making things factual. When I heard people said, well, feelings aren't fact, only when they use it in the negative. But I know when what I felt, that's a fact. That means you have to do something. Once you feel that, there's something you have to do, because it creates an action. And that action is, you must act in faith, no matter what. Even if the devil, just like Pastor said, you can't go back and speak negative about it, because a person can be healed and let doubt creeps up in them and reactivate all the symptoms again, because now they're acting in fear. Peter walked on water. He walked on water. He let doubt creep in, and then he sank. And then Jesus pulled him back up, and he's back on top of the water. So you got to understand, like, the devil is going to use it. This everything Pastor said is scripture. Don't talk about the problem, because the problem opened the door. Don't believe me? Read Job 3:25. He said, the one thing I feared has come up on me. See, Job was making offering because of what he think his children might do. And the devil saw that that was his opening. He said, oh, you love these kids so much. Let me start inflicting some pain in that area, because that is your weakness. And he saw that at the weakness, and then he used it. But then God made all things work together for his good. So you see the act between Peter, you see the act between the woman. And those are some things that you must actuate in your own belief with your faith. So I'm going to ask this last question, like, what does Peter's action teach us about faith and doubt? You see what happened when he had faith, and you saw what happened when he had doubt. Anybody want to touch on that? What does his action? Go ahead, Brother Manny.
You know, I believe that Peter's story shows us exactly what happens when we take our eyes off God. Because, you know, one thing that really sticks out to me about the story of Peter is that it doesn't say every disciple asked God to let him walk on water, but he was the one that took the initiative and asked, if it is you, Lord, let me walk on water. And he started off strong in faith, and he was doing it. He was walking. He was making progress. You know, a lot of times, you know, when things get rough or when we get hit out of left field, it's so easy to want to revert back to what you're used to. It's so easy to want to give up. And, praise God that the mentality that I adopted was that if you've made it halfway, why would you go back the same distance that you made it when you could have already been done with the race? See, and that's one thing that he, man, God just the way he does things is just so indescribable. I grew up the regular, you work, you provide, you get married, you have a family, you take care of them. And I always had a feeling like there's got to be more than life. There's got to be something more that I can do that can lead on for generations, that could break the generational curse of poverty, of a poverty mindset. Just like Pastor was speaking, during the opportunity to prosper, it's a fixed and it's a trained idea that this is what you have to do and there's no other way. And ever since I was 16 years old, I worked until all the way up until I was 24. I worked because I turned 26 tomorrow, praise God. But I would work, I would do the best that I could do, I would be in a management position, and I thought that I would be a great corporate man or a district manager or a regional manager, whatever the case may be. Little did I know that God, when I got comfortable, God shook it up. Like, nope, you're getting too comfortable. This isn't what I have for you. And there was a lot of times where I would be overqualified as a young man. Like when I was a store manager for Dollar General, I was the youngest manager in the district of 32 managers. The youngest one, and I ran my store on a tight shift. And it wasn't until God put me in a conversation with just someone that was just there for a season. And I remember it like it was yesterday. I was sitting there, I was just connecting with this guy that does real estate. And I was just like, yeah, I want to start my business. I think I want to do like luxury Uber. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invest in something like a Cadillac or a Suburban, and I'm gonna drive people around. Now, when I was younger, I used to love to drive. Now I hate it. especially from moving from Texas to Utah, that was a 22-hour drive. And then from Utah to Colorado or Utah to Texas, that's 22 hours again. Like, I like driving. I like driving nice cars, but not like that. And it just took one simple conversation from somebody that I don't even have association with, who's just an acquaintance for the time being. But he was just like, why don't you get cars and rent them out? And that's all he told me. He just told me about the base idea of Turo. And God was just like, hey, you should research that. And I did. And God was working with me even before I was in his will, before I started to pursue him. And I looked into it, I'm like, man, that is a $1 million idea right there. I get cars, people gotta pay me to drive them. I ain't gotta drive them unless I gotta drop them off. And if I gotta drop them off, I get paid for the to go drop it off. And then as I started to deep dive into my research of my business, but mainly it was when I started to deep dive into God where he started to ordain the steps for me.
Hey, brother, man, for the sake of time, I'm gonna cut you off there. Thank you. How God is moving you and telling your story. Bless us. We already over time, and there's other people, so I'm trying to cut this down to at least 2 minutes per. Thank you for your input. Deacon Sanders, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, fellas, I'll be real quick. I want to say what he saw with Peter. With the faith, we can learn that that there's nothing too impossible for God once you put your faith and your trust in Him. Going along what Pastor said, actually knowing God instead of acknowledging Him, you can start to get results. Walking on water is something that physically defies all the odds of convenient. I forgot how you said it earlier, convenient knowledge. I think that's what you said earlier. But it defies all of that. If you can walk on water, what else can you do? What else can God do for you? What is too hard for God that if you can defy the human qualifications, or I don't know if that's philosophy, I don't know what you call it, what part of science that is, that you can walk on water. That defies some of the
Physics.
things that we can be doing as humans. We're not amphibians. We're not these insects that can just walk on water. But that showed us that there's nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing too hard when you have that level of intimacy and friendship and relationship with Christ, to where you are all in 100%.
Yeah.
There's nothing impossible. So when you when I read that story, it just lets me know, like, God was able to do something. He was able to do the impossible, a miracle. So yeah, that's my, hopefully I can go with my 2 minutes.
Amen. I see you, Minister Avery. I mean, Minister Avery. But let me get Brother Vinny to put some input before I get to you. Okay, Brother Vinny, what you think about the lesson tonight? Or do you have any input about Peter's action about faith and doubt, the difference between faith and doubt?
When I think about this story, it's a familiar story, but and we say a familiar phrase, same God that did it before, he can do it again. I think it's a song called that too. Same God that did it before, if he did it before, he can do it again. I think by Ty Tribbett. And I always think about that. This is someone who had walked with Jesus, who had already kind of understood a little bit who Jesus was, but at the same time, in this situation, when a storm arose, or when the water started raging and all of this stuff, what that was going on, it was like, okay, all of the faith, and he ha and this is, oh, sorry, this is Jesus right here with them, and I think about it even today, like Jesus is, God is so near to us in our everyday lives. He's not far away. And if we look back and we think back to the things that God has done for us, even whether it's the smallest or the greatest things, that's enough just to have faith when storms arise. And even when I was when you said before, the first question that you asked, I wanted to raise my hand and said, I used to be a person of, disobedience and pridefulness. And that take a lot of audacity. To be prideful, that take a lot of audacity to be disobedient, to just do what you want to do, to disregard rules and regulations and all of that. That take a lot of, so for me, audacity, faith is not really hard for me, because I've been on, I've, you know, I had boldness in other areas, and a lot of times the boldness that we have in the world, or before we got saved, is not much different than the boldness that we should have when we are saved. It's just in a different way now. And so I think the story of Peter, even with the woman with the issue of the blood, with that affliction that she had, it was just showing you how quickly you can get results when you act now on faith. And not just quick results, because a lot of times everything don't come quick, but you can get an answer quickly. And it may not be the answer that you want. It may just be a little piece to the puzzle. But I really am thankful for the lesson, because it just brings me back to so many things. Like, I remember, I mean, being stationed in Alaska, and I have a lot of talents that I could have been doing other than Vinny's catering. Vinny's catering wasn't even a thought in my mind, I mean, I could draw, paint, airbrush. I could do. I'm an artist, so that's what I thought that I would be doing. But I come from the South, number one. I get thrown into Alaska, number two, where there's nothing but mom and pop stores. We don't have nothing but a Walmart and a McDonald's and something like that over there. I don't have no home cooked, ain't no seafood. I mean, yeah, they got that cod and stuff over there, but that's, I'm used to my whitings, my crab, my fresh shrimp, my local seafood and stuff like that, my soul food. And here I am. I start doing what I was taught to do, which was number one, just be a blessing and be a giver. And if I couldn't do that with money, I knew I could do it with food. And so that's how it all started, just being a blessing to people. I would open up my barracks and, after church on Sundays, hey, y'all, I got some barbecue ribs, some collard greens, this and that, this, and little did I know, I didn't really know where God was moving that to. I didn't really know that I was an entrepreneur. I wasn't really trying to be an entrepreneur. I wasn't trying to make no money. I wasn't trying to do nothing. But I just, by faith, each time I just did it. By faith, each time I just did it. And then all of a sudden, Vinny's Catering. And I remember God told me one day, God said, I'm gonna bless you because you want to be a blessing to others. You're not in it for the money. And
Amen.
that's where, my business took, but I had been entrepreneur way before that, from school. I mean, I would airbrush people's shoes and clothes and all of that stuff, paint murals on the church, in the nurseries and all and different things like that. But I never turned it into a business. But I always knew that even in the army, I mean, I painted warehouses and all kind of stuff. Just, got Army Achievement Medals for it. Wasn't looking for no awards. I just was doing what I love to do, and but God was showing me, your gift will make room for you. Number one, and he was showing me that if you just do what I say do, no matter what the naysayers say, just keep that same boldness that you have to be disobedient and to disregard rules. If you just refocus that, I can do times 10, sevenfold for you, a hundredfold for you. So.
That's that audaciousness right there. Thank you for your input, sir. Minister Avery, you had your hand up, sir.
Now, just right quick, it's not, I was thinking it's not about impulse. Peter didn't move on an impulse. I shouldn't be moving on impulses, which means it doesn't require any thought, real thought, to go on an impulse, but it's about moving on the word of God. He said, come, Peter came, and then Peter was able to walk on water. So that's my biggest takeaway from it. Moving on his words, not on an impulse. Great lesson.
Amen. I'll just give you these four characteristics before we close out. What does these characteristic of audacious faith look like? It's a confidence in God's promises. The audacious faith, it trusts that God's word is true despite any obstacle. That's why you got to build on it, and you got to persevere. It is action in the face of fear. Faith requires stepping out even when circumstances seem uncertain. You have to take those necessary steps for God to reveal the other portion to you. You see in portion apart, which is just a shadow, until you take the necessary steps. The next one is persistent in the pursuit of breakthrough. See, with the woman in Mark chapter 5 was determined, regardless of societal pressures. Even when society says, hey, you just got to live with this. No, she said, I know of a man who just came on the scene. I don't know how long he's been preaching on since he only did it for 3.5 years. So whether it's the first year of Jesus's preaching or the last year of his preaching, it was within that time frame that she came to him, and then she acted upon it. So that is important. And then the last part, you got to speak bold declaration. Joshua didn't just hope; he commanded the sun to stand still after he submitted to God and spoke to God first. Because here you will get to a part where you exalt yourself and you'll walk around and do a lot of the foolishness you see a lot of people do right now, where they get in the pulpit and they blow and they pass their mic and have people fall out and nothing is really edifying, right? So don't let yourself get so exalted that you forget that you're not the source, you're just the resource. And God is the one that gets the increase. God is the one that's doing everything. So you just got to apply your faith by doing personal reflection. Ask yourself, what bold step of faith is God calling me to take? And then ask God when you pray just to challenge you, challenge your faith, give you courage to believe beyond your hope. We got Faith Week coming up, and this is when you actuate your faith. So you ask, what type of faith in action, and choose the area where you'll step out in faith. Not something that you're comfortable with. If you're comfortable with it, it doesn't take much faith. But the area that challenged you the most, that you just refuse to just submit to God. And when I'm speaking to y'all, I'm speaking to myself too. There must be an area for God to take you to the next level so you can see clearly the part that making things cloudy. I thank y'all for your time, and I yield this time to Pastor Woodson if you have the last say, sir.
Just great lesson, man. Great impartation for everybody. And I just want to say just this, and I'm going to give it back to you. Turn your faith, little brothers. Put your faith out there on something, right? God ain't got us teaching all this because he ain't trying to do something, right? And he may do something collectively as a unit, but there's something specifically in this hour he's trying to do for individuals. Turn your faith loose, brothers. I mean, faith can work on anything. Anything that's a problem, it'll work on it. All right, so I just encourage you to turn your faith loose.
Amen. And I think I saw in the post today that God needs the brothers and God need y'all for the kingdom. And I appreciate y'all time. Like this is important. I know y'all stay on here longer than 6:30 to 8, but you put God before any other household chore, before anything else. Never let God wait while you do other things. You put God first and let the other things wait. Never the other way around. Okay? I thank you for your time, and I'll just close out in prayer. Anybody else have anything to say before I leave?
And we're going to keep
say
our...
Thank you, Pastor. Oh, go ahead.
No, we're going to keep our men's fellowship on Zoom for a while. So when it's time for it to come up, we'll keep it on Zoom for a while. And when it's going to be in the building, somebody will let you know.
Yes, sir. And all right, with that said, all hearts and mind clear, and thank you for your time. Like, Lord, we just ask you to just give us that audacious faith, that the word that we believe during this season, I pray that we act beyond just belief and move out in faith and trust you fully. Help us to walk there, Father God, in boldness, that as we know you have given us love, power, and a sound mind. You said you'll never leave us and forsake us. To just help us there, Father God, to just build up our faith there, Father God, that our faith never fails us. We thank you and we praise your holy name, that as we go out, we'll boldly proclaim our audacious faith just by acting and doing, and know that your promises are yes and amen. Thank you for your time, brothers. I appreciate you putting God first. Amen. Y'all have a good night.
Amen. Thanks. Great lesson.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Have a good night, brother.
Y'all too, Pastor. All right, Brother Benny, Brother Manny.
Great lesson.
All right. Love y'all.
All right, Pastor.